It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of July. Shooters will shoot. We'll look at the best shooters in the NBA. Those, I believe, will still be hot, whether it's in a bubble or not. All coming up as we continue to get ready for basketball action. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Today's show brought to you by RockAuto.com. Make sure you go to RockAuto.com to get your always low prices and great selection from rockauto.com. All right, so this week I want to do I'm doing this series on kind of things I think that will still maintain in the bubble or be important in the bubble. Yesterday we talked about those teams that were best defending the rim, getting to the rim. So if you want to go back and listen to yesterday's show, it's available on this Locked On Jazz feed on Spotify, iTunes. But if you haven't followed already on Spotify or subscribed on iTunes, please do. Reviews are always welcome as well. So we looked at that yesterday. Hope you got something out of it. Today I want to look at shooters. Because I think that shooting will be at a premium, but I also think shooters will shoot. In other words, I do think that there'll be a dip in overall shooting. I think the dip will not happen universally across the board. So the 43% shooter, I don't think is dropping to 40. The 36% three-point shooter might be dropping to 33. In other words, the best shooters in the league, I presume, will continue to shoot well. The teams that are, the players that are shooting a lot of threes but are average three-point shooters may be out of rhythm, may not be back to their usual selves. They also have had enough preparation time that, in fact, players might be just fine. Like, the Jazz are taking the day off today. These guys have practiced a good deal. They're going at it pretty hard. The Jazz have done a ton of really good five-on-five scrimmages from what I've heard. Their spirit's really good. Now, there's some other teams where not everybody's there yet. Guys are just coming into practice now, and maybe they're going to be behind and trying to ramp up for the practice, and shooting's going to be, you know, questionable. Russell Westbrook's a bad shooter. He gets into a rhythm during the season at times, and I don't know that he gets that rhythm again. I guess that's my point. So the best three-point shooting teams the Miami Heat are the number one three-point shooting team in the league. The Jazz are number two. The Pelicans are number three. The Blazers are four. The Spurs are five. The Pacers, who don't take very many, are six. Washington, seven. Toronto is eight. Interesting, by the way, the value of three-point shooting. Kind of when we do this, you're seeing, like yesterday, you saw that defensively defending the rim was far more important than actually getting to the rim. Here you have the teams that are the eight top teams are all in the bubble, and 14 of the top 15 shooting teams are all in the bubble. So the least good shooting three-point teams that are still in the tournament: Brooklyn and Orlando, Houston at 35% because they take so many, Memphis, the Lakers, Oklahoma City, and Milwaukee are all below average. 14 of the other 15 teams are all above average shooting teams, with the premium being Miami, Utah, New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Indiana, despite the lack of attempts, and Washington. Corner threes, the best are Utah, Portland, Denver, Philadelphia, Lakers in New Orleans, but those are going to be the ones that are hardest to get. So you're above the break three-point shooting team. Miami is a percentage and a half better than anyone else in the NBA. Actually, 1.3. Then Utah, Washington, Toronto, Portland, New Orleans, San Antonio, Boston jumps in because they're a bad corner three shooting team. Sacramento, Indiana slides. They're a very good corner three shooting team. Oklahoma City, Dallas, Clippers, Philadelphia. This is 14 top above the break three-point shooting teams are all in the bubble. Don't be lost on that, on the value of that. So then I'm going to do a different metric than what we're probably used to. But let's go and say the purest shooting is catch and shoot shooting. Okay? So the purest metric you can probably take on whether someone's a good shooter is catch and shoot shooting. And, you know, if you start to scan through the top 100 guys in the league, or maybe probably top 100 guys in the league, they're taking three a game. So let's set the filter at 2.5 3-point shots per game of catch and shoot 3-point shots a game. If you're not taking 2.5 catch and shoot 3-point shots a game, then you're probably not in the elite level of shooters that's going to impact a game. I'm going to do points gained on just 3-point shots later in the show. So the guys that take the most 3-point shots in a game that are going to be in the bubble are Duncan Robinson, Kristaps Porzingis, Robert Covington, Eric Gordon, Danilo Gallinari, Jaren Jackson Jr. Interesting how many of these are not like guards. Ben McLemore in Houston, if you don't remember. Terrence Ross would have been Bojan Bogdanović at 5. Brandon Ingram takes 5 catch and shoot threes a game. That's a lot. Buddy Hield at 5. So those are the players that take more than 5 catch and shoot threes a game. That's the elite. Here's what's interesting. Most of them are good. They're all above 40%. Here's the ones that are not elite level at above 40. Terrence Ross is 38%. Eric Gordon of Houston's 28%. Robert Covington of Houston is 34%. And Porzingis is 36%. Duncan Robinson, 46%, the best of the group. Bojan Bogdanović, 42.6%, second best of that group. Or Davis Bertans, but he's not playing either. The next tier of guys, Torian Prince, Brooklyn, 4.9 a game. These are the guys who take 4 a game. 36%. Okay, not a great shooter. Just gets them up. There's a real value to just getting up 3-point shots. It spreads the floor. But my thought is, in the bubble, with this time off, that these guys that are below league average, below the 36, 37% catch and shoot league average in the NBA, are going to end up struggling. They're going to slip. The 40% guys, my thought is they won't slip. They're just bona fide shooters. Now, by the way, I could be totally wrong on this. Just, you know, let's be perfectly clear. The median number in the league is catch and shoot 3-point shooting is about 37%. So I'm going as that is my average versus below average number of guys here. So again, thus far this year, high volume 3-point shooters that are below average. Kristaps Porzingis, Robert Covington, Eric Gordon. Now, in the next group, guys who take 4 a game, below average, who might struggle a bit, Torian Prince, Josh Hart, New Orleans at 35.5, Nikola Vukovic, Orlando at 32.8, Daniel House at 36.7. That's Houston's whole philosophy. Very important one here. Brooke Lopez at 29.7. Garrett Temple, 35% in Brooklyn. Kelly Oubre, I think he's injured, 34.4 for Phoenix. Hard to keep track of who's still injured. Al Horford, Philadelphia, 33.6%. Jay Crowder, 28.6% on catch and shoots. Jay Crowder, I'd be very surprised if he has his hot streaks. And Kendrick Nunn, Miami. So Miami, some high volume guys that are pretty low on this chart. And Miles Turner, Indiana, 34.4. Guys that are high volume that will be even more valuable than ever before. Tim Hardaway Jr., 43% so far this year. Bogdan Bogdanović, 39%. Landry Shamet, 40%. Did I hear he's kind of, no one's sure if he's in the bubble? Like, I thought, that's crazy. Paul George, 40%. Bryn Forbes, 40%. Joe Harris, Brooklyn, 43.5%. Cameron Johnson, Phoenix, 40%. Good rookie year for him. Lonzo Ball, talk about a guy emerging, 40% three-point shooter. Marcus Smart, I didn't mention, is a bad one, 31.4. I think he hurts you a little bit more than another one. Maxi Kleber, 37.9, right on the edge. J.J. Redick, 47% on catch-and-shoot threes. Incredible. Bielitsa of Sacramento, 42%. Fred VanVleet, 44%. Jaylen Brown, 42%. So those are the guys. Now, I got another way we're going to look at it. We're going to look at it via points gained here in a second to see whose value will be actually higher and bigger than ever before. Those guys that are gaining the most points behind the three-point line will be, I think, even more valuable than ever before. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Linden and in Logan. Right now, I am driving the new Sonata. It's pretty amazing what you can do with the Sonata, all the safety features for a price tag that starts with a 3. Like, that's, to me, amazing. Love it. Basically drives itself down the canyon with its safety features. You turn on the turning signal, you got right in your, you don't have to look back because it shows you blind spots when you hit blind spot cameras. Credible sunroof, great drive, good acceleration, very good spacing for a sedan inside. Check it out. The Sonata is really amazing. The SUV lineup is the Santa Fe, the Tucson, and the Kona, plus the Palisade, which is the big daddy that was just terrific. I drove that recently and loved it. Just, again, great space, super value, super features. We own two of the Santa Fes because that's when I've done the research. That's what's been the right answer for me. If you're looking for a car right now, include Hyundai because of the value you can get. You can decide what you want to buy. I don't want to tell you that. Stop by Murdoch in Logan, Linden, or in Salt Lake at 4646 South State Street. If you're going to stop by, email me first, dlock09@gmail.com. I'd like to get you set up with Jason over at the Murdoch Salt Lake Show or get you one of the VIP treatments and let them know you're all coming. Today's show is also brought to you by the store. I stopped by yesterday. I picked up a lot of chocolates and a little special gift for Ron Boone. One of the women at Joanne always has a little gift for Ron Boone at games of his cinnamon gummy bears. And we won't have fans in the stands when we call the game on Thursday. So I went and got him cinnamon gummy bears so he can have those during the game for his little sugar fix. That'll be when I give those to him, that'll be my only time I break the socially distance. But it was great. My wife daughter are down right now in Lehigh for a border war for golf. And so my son and I were home together last night. So I picked up a bunch of those foods I always talk about at the store, took care of dinner for us that way. Grab and go, the enchiladas, the chicken pot pies. They had a great salmon that I actually pulled and we're going to barbecue for us tonight. So just fabulous setup there. Mudslide cookies, of course, all located the store at 40, located at 60th South and 20th East, and also located downtown at the Gateway. Stop by the store. All right, here's a new stat, never revealed before. Just worked on it last night. And this is the idea of who's gaining the most points on a daily basis behind the three-point line. The leader, no surprise, is the purple cow, Duncan Robinson. 1.8 points per game above league average with his shots he takes on threes. That's an incredible amount. Deion Waiters, interestingly, in his limited three games was next. J.J. Redick. So not a huge surprise so far. Davis Bertans not available. Rodney Hood, who's out with the Achilles. This Dallas gets Seth Curry comes in here. And I think shows you a little bit of his value. George Hill in Milwaukee. Doug McDermott, Indiana. Bojan Bogdanovic would have shown up again right here. These are just players that are in the bubble. Shake Milton, Philadelphia, who they've moved to point guard in place of Ben Simmons, who will be playing power forward. Danilo Gallinari in Oklahoma. Chris Middleton, Milwaukee. Some of these names I don't think are guys you would have necessarily thought of. Tim Hardaway. Nima Bjelica. Justin Holiday, Indiana. Joe Harris, Brooklyn. Great shooter, doesn't get as many off, so he's not as high on the charts. Evan Fournier, Orlando. Paul George with the Clippers. Dame Lillard in Portland. Buddy Hield in Sacramento. Kelly Olynyk for Miami. Kyle Korver. Those are the players that are the elite shooters that have the biggest impact three-point-wise and should have even more value. By the way, the next list is interesting. The next tier, which is kind of those that are under 0.5, Paul Millsap, Jason Tatum, jump into there. The guys that hurt you the most, and so these are guys that shoot a lot of threes, are below average in doing it, and I suspect will be even more detrimental than they would be otherwise. So far, Luka Doncic. Luka is only shooting 31.8% from three and takes a ton. Worth watching. Eric Gordon, we've talked about that already. Can't imagine he shoots 28% again or 31%. Russell Westbrook, negative 1.39 points per game behind the three-point line. Spencer Dinwiddie is not participating. Victor Oladipo's been injured. Brooke Lopez pops in here again. Lopez will be a huge key to Milwaukee, not a natural shooter, has turned himself into a three-point shooter, and will he be able to find a rhythm in his shooting? Jay Crowder, Kyle Kuzma, both negative one. Worth keeping an eye on Kuzma. Giannis Antetokounmpo, not a good shooter. Will that be a bigger issue? Marvin Bagley hurt himself yesterday. Garrett Temple in Brooklyn. James Harden, interestingly enough. So high volume, such tough shots. Will that show up? Aaron Gordon for Orlando. Jimmy Butler in Miami. Not a good natural shooter. 25% from three. His points gained is negative from behind the three-point line each and every game he plays. A lot of bad players that aren't involved. Malcolm Brogdon's not had a good year shooting. Minus 0.8 in that regard. Al-Farouq Aminu's never been a good shooter, shows up on this. Taurean Prince, who we've mentioned already, high volume and not particularly high-level shooter. Alan Crabb, who's made a lot of money for shooting, is actually not a good shooter. De'Aaron Fox, Sacramento, shows up on this list. So that, Josh Richardson, Philadelphia, minus 6.5. Nikola Jokic, minus 6.4. Nikola Vukovic, minus 6.4. So these are some interesting names to keep an eye on as we get going and see whether or not what their shooting does. Because the premise I have here is that the least good shooters will end up being worse than usual. So what about the Jazz? We'll look at the Jazz players as we continue. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. If you have not already subscribed on iTunes or followed on Spotify, please do. We're here for you each and every day. Make sure it's a part of your daily routine. Tomorrow we'll look at isolation players and which ones are the best and going to be the most valuable in isolation. We'll continue and look at Jazz shooters specifically and see which should be the best coming in to the bubble. Okay, isolating Jazz players. Obviously, Boyan was our best. That's where that hit goes. Now, Joe hopefully gets a bunch of those looks, changes his shooting angle a little bit. But Joe Ingles is our next best. Royce O'Neal kind of stays right at even. We don't actually have Mike Conley is like dead even on just three-point shooting. Clarkson's a little below average. Donovan's a little below average. So we don't have those kind of like George Niang's above average. We don't have that knockdown guy. Like Conley has been average this year with his three-point shooting. Donovan's a little bit below. Royce is not an incredible natural shooter. He takes so few. He's just right on the league average on it. Moutier has been right at the league average. Jordan Clarkson, right at the league average. So it's going to be interesting. Those guys in my model here, which is kind of anybody who's above one tier or below, these guys are all right in the middle. When you look at the Jazz catch and shoot numbers, they're great. The issue for us all year long has been whether or not we can get enough catch and shoot. Our guys' catch and shoot numbers are through the roof. Ingles, 44%. Donovan, 44%. Niang, 43%. Bojan Bogdanovic, 43%. Royce O'Neal, 41%. Mike Conley, 41%. Emmanuel Moutier, 38%. Jordan Clarkson, 38%. I mean, every single one of our guys, catch and shoot, three-point shooting, 38% or above. Can we continue to push? That's the concept. Can we push the tempo? Can we get these across earlier? Can we find a way to get more catch and shoot opportunities for our players early and often in the offense? Few things I wanted to talk about before we, I thought I kind of lost in the last. Drew Holiday and his wife donating their entire salary, nearly $5 million for the rest of the season. Incredible. Like, there's so, the philanthropy of these athletes is just in through the roof at such an incredibly high level and so consistently across the board. And I never feel as though they're completely recognized for truly what they all do. The universal commitment by the players. And also, you know, I'm always asked, are they good guys? Yeah, they're amazing. 99% of these guys are just incredibly good dudes. And the burden that they all feel toward making sure that they do things for their community is pretty tremendous. This is an example of it. And that is but they make so much money. Right, but I don't see, like, other parts of society making that much money, all doing the same. So, right, some of the great families in Utah we see. But, like, these aren't the great families with billions of dollars. It's not the same. This is truly pretty remarkable, amazing stuff from these players. The other one I wanted to talk about, WNBA starts coming up. Sabrina in New York, or I guess they're all in the bubble. It's going to be pretty interesting. They're going to present 24 regular season telecasts as the a little bit of a different season, but it starts with Sue Bird in Seattle against New York Saturday, 10 o'clock hour time. They'll follow it with an LA Phoenix game on ABC. So we actually, Saturday, you'll have a collection of three different WNBA games as well as Sunday if you need your hoops. If you've not watched the W, I think you'll be surprised. I don't know how their game, you know, quality game coming out of the bubble and, you know, limited. And, you know, their players don't have Mike Conley gyms in their backyard when we saw Tamika Catchings playing on a windy, sleeting hoop. But it should be pretty incredible. And the level of talent in this league is through the roof. And Oregon star with the number one pick in New York making the debut should be awesome to see. So throw that on your list of things with the WNBA starting this week to jump on. I had not checked my Kendall Baker Axios report this week to see what happened with our NBA things. I wanted to do that. I thought we'd all do it together here. I forgot to check yesterday. So we are, for our NBA Axios teams, we're venturing into the top 10. We've talked about it a lot. The 11th team, the 12th team was the Houston Rockets. The 11th team was the New York Knicks. That was on Monday. With the Knicks, Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe, Carmelo Anthony, Willis Reed, Patrick Ewing, with DeBusschere, King, Bradley, Oakley, Allen Houston, coming off the bench. Number 10, the Utah Jazz are going to be in the top 10, and they are not going to be the 10th. The Thunder Sonics Sean Kemp, Kevin Durant, Ray Allen, Gary Payton, Russell Westbrook. Wow. The Jazz best team of Stockton, Malone, Gobert, Hornacek, Dantley, Mitchell is better than Payton, Allen, Westbrook, Durant, Kemp? With Jack Sikma, Serge Ibaka, Freddie Brown, Detlef Schrempf. I don't like this anyway because the Sonics are a different franchise in Oklahoma City. But the Jazz are top 10. I got to figure we show up tomorrow. That is Locked On Jazz today. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in. Appreciate you taking the time. We're getting inching closer to our first scrimmage. We'll be live on the radio with it on Thursday, Ron and I. TV on Saturday will be tape delayed. We'll be live on radio as well at 2 o'clock on that one. Have a great one. Thanks for tuning in. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball.